At the heart of the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry into Donald Trump, there are questions surrounding a military aid package to Ukraine. The aid was eventually delivered in September, but various testimonies from government officials continue to reveal widespread concern that this aid was being improperly withheld by the White House for months prior. And while President Trump allegedly sought to leverage this aid to help his political fortunes for Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, the stakes were much higher. Ukraine has been in an ongoing war with Russia since 2014, and despite Zelensky's goal to de-escalate that conflict, the toll of war can be measured in Ukrainian lives lost on the battlefield every week. Here with us for more on this Ukrainian perspective is Nina Jankowicz, a fellow at the Wilson Center. Nina, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Remind us again, why is our Ukraine and Russia fighting and have been since 2014?
So you may remember after the Sochi Winter Olympics in 2014, as those Olympics were shutting down and the world's attention was elsewhere, Vladimir Putin slipped his troops into the Crimean Peninsula, which is part of Ukraine, and illegally annexed that territory. Ongoing throughout all of this was months-long protest in Ukraine after the then-president Viktor Yanukovych decided to pursue further integration with Russia and the Eurasian Economic Union instead of the European Union, which he had promised the people of Ukraine. And then in the summer of 2014, we saw an escalation in Ukraine's eastern region, the Donbass, where Russian military vehicles, Russian-sponsored fighters were crossing into Ukraine and taking thousands and thousands of lives. And as you said, today the death toll stands at least 13,000 Ukrainians that have lost their lives defending their sovereignty and territorial integrity.
So far in the impeachment inquiry hearings here in the United States, in the public hearings, we've heard some testimony about people who have gone to the front lines of this conflict. What is it like at the front lines right now?
So I've actually never been there myself because as an American, especially as one on a U.S. exchange program, as I was when I was on a Fulbright there, we were disallowed from going. But it's a dangerous place. There has been a de-escalation recently because the new president, Volodymyr Zelensky, ran on a promise of ending the war in Ukraine. But still, as you mentioned, people are dying every week. The area is still heavily mined. The people who are suffering most at the front lines are the very young and very old who have been unable to leave the area of the contact line because they don't really have another option. And so we're losing not only soldiers on both sides of the conflict, but ordinary people. And those are the people who are suffering the most as their services on both sides have been cut off. They're unable to receive their pensions. They're out of work and they're not receiving things like electricity and clean water.
We've been hearing a lot about the aid, and I wanted to take this segment, the opportunity in this segment to remind people what this aid is for. Can you tell us, Nina, how dependent on this aid is Ukraine in this conflict, and what does this aid generally get used towards?
Sure. So there's a lot of different types of aid that go to Ukraine, and certainly that has been on the uptick since 2014. There is this military aid, which is what we're focused on amid the impeachment inquiry, which amounts to about 5% of the Ukrainian military budget every year. There's also the purchase of Javelin anti-tank missiles by the Ukrainian government, which the Obama administration very famously refused to sell Ukraine, but the Trump administration relented and did sell Ukraine. Those actually, I would say, are more of a rhetorical form of support, showing Ukraine that the United States has their back and showing to Russia, basically, that you can't just unilaterally change the borders of a sovereign nation for the first time since World War II without consequences. And then we also give a lot of democratic support through organizations like the National Endowment for Democracy, National Democratic Institute, International Republican Institute, which are focused on rule of law and civil society issues, bringing Ukraine back toward the democratic fold, which it has been trying to kind of walk that path of democracy building for the past 30 years. But the thing that I think is important to underline is that all of these efforts, all of these foreign policy efforts, not only for the past 5 years, but the past 30 since Ukrainian independence, have been undermined by this withholding of aid. Even though it's been released, the rhetorical support that it has given the Ukrainian government as it faces Russian aggression, as Zelensky heads into negotiations with Putin on December 9th, all of that is undermined by the fact that it seems to have been withheld for political purposes.
We do know that, at least allegedly, what's something that's come up in testimony is that President Trump has said he really didn't care, I'm paraphrasing here, about what happened in Ukraine. He was more concerned, again, allegedly, with investigating Joe Biden. National security officials say that U.S. national security is tied to Ukraine's success here. Talk a little bit more about what message that could send to Ukraine and other vulnerable nations who are backed by the U.S.
I think that point was made very eloquently by Bill Taylor during his testimony last week. He said, you know, this isn't just a conflict that's far, far away. This sends a message not only to Russia that this sort of interference can happen no matter what country they're operating in, but it sends a message to other aggressive nations who might have the idea that they can unilaterally change borders and use aggression to influence other nations. And that is very much against American ideals. Not only in the foreign policy sense, but democratic ideals. We believe that, you know, nations have a right to self-determination, and that is at the very core of this issue here. And certainly, I think our credibility as the United States has been undermined on the international stage as well. And I think Marie Yovanovitch's testimony really spoke to that. How can our diplomats, who are supposed to be the emissaries of the president, know that their word is going to be taken, seriously? When we are sending our diplomats home essentially for political purposes? And I don't think there's any other narrative out there that has any credibility about why Ambassador Yovanovitch was sent home. So now we have this opportunity for shadowy figures who want to influence American policies to be running kind of shadow diplomacy, as we've seen. And we've seen how easy that is to unseat an American ambassador and to change American foreign policy toward a nation which we were supporting for the past 30 years.
Nina Jankowicz is a fellow at the Wilson Center. Thanks for joining us, Nina.
Thanks for having me, Tanzina.